Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jared Meyer is here. Jared's a new friend, but he's a friend of a friend. And Jared is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which is one of our friends. And so anybody with the Manhattan Institute, for the most part, are good folks for us. And he's an expert in... a research expert on governmental regulations, especially as they impact the economy. He's the co-author, along with our very good friend, Diana Furchtgott-Roth, the new book called Disinherited, How Washington is Betraying America's Young. And he ought to know, because he's kind of young. But Jared Meyer, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So, right, Jared? I mean, you're a young guy. You don't have non-premature hair like me, prematurely gray hair like me. You can look at this from a perspective of a young person, can't you? How the government treats the younger generations.
Yeah, no, I'm 2 years out of college, so I still am able to talk to a lot of my friends and see what they're going through. And
right.
A lot of that, with Diana and I were able to tie into our book to really show that these regulations, taxes, slow economy, these things are having a real effect on young people. And it's a pretty bad effect. I mean, we see a lot of millennials haven't achieved success, and doing so might be more difficult for them than it's been for their parents or grandparents in the past.
Let's establish what the problem is first, and then we'll talk about where we can attribute the cause to. Talk to us about some of the employment situations for our young people these days.
Well, it's impossible to start talking about the problems facing young people without bringing up what you talked about right before the break, the national debt.
Right.
And though you mentioned it's almost $20 trillion, if we're looking at programs like Social Security and Medicare, mm-hmm. and looking at how underfunded they are, the so-called fiscal gap is over $200 trillion. I mean, this is a crazy amount. I can't even imagine
$200 trillion. If you had an exposure, if you had a potential obligation down the road for your company, your accountant would put on your financial statements, which would be delivered to your bank, something called contingent liability. And that's what this is, isn't it? This is a contingent liability, although it's not so much contingent, probably, I guess we should say. But you're talking about what's going to be expected of the country, but the country doesn't have the money to pay.
Exactly, yeah, because politicians have constantly made promises to older Americans in Social Security and Medicare where they say, you know what, we're going to keep increasing your benefits, but we're
right.
not going to make other people pay more.
Mm-hmm.
But now, eventually, the bill's going to come due. And surprisingly, what we found with talking to a lot of millennials is they just view the amount coming out of their paycheck going to Social Security as another tax. They don't see it as a forced investment savings vehicle anymore. They're like, you know what? This program's not going to be there for us, at least nothing like what it looks like today.
Right.
Right now, we're just paying for our grandparents.
Well, and it's not just that. It's also the fact, it's not just that Washington has made what I call 20th century promises that are now coming due in the 21st century. That's one of the problems we have. And it's that the politicians not only have made those promises they can't pay off, they have raided the funds. Social Security they've stolen money from the Social Security Trust Fund. Jared,
happened because it used to be, you know, $4 trillion
or something like that.
Yeah, and it's because it constantly, I mean, you can't put money by politicians and expect them to not take it or use it for something that's a more expedient political priority. But one of the other problems is that young people, it's not only that they have to pay into these programs, but they're having a hard time getting jobs anyways.
Yeah.
The unemployment rate for people 20 to 24 is still 10%.
That's the number I wanted you to get to. The 10% number. 10% for what ages are these in the 20s?
Yeah, that's 20 to 24, so it's the young adults. But
right out of college, right out of high school, 10% unemployed. And so one of the things that you mentioned is that millennials are politically disengaged or unaligned. I'm not sure they're looking for to become politically engaged. I mean, I talked to millennials in the last election cycle, Jared, who didn't have a job, and yet they still voted for the same administration that basically set the stage for them to not have a job and wasn't doing much to help them get a job. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, there's a lot of millennials who, you know, young people in general tend to be voting more for Democrats. But if we look at the support for Barack Obama from 2008 to 2012, it dropped pretty sharply among millennials. And I think it's because a lot of them realized they got a raw deal. And their entire view of government actually switched. Back in 2008, only 40% of millennials saw government as inefficient and wasteful. Now, that number's up to two-thirds. So The last few years have really left a sour taste in their mouth, where they think that, you know, not everything government does is for the good of the consumer. And we start second-guessing these things, especially when we can't get jobs.
And we can't presume that that means they're going to vote more Republican either, because what you just described is their opinion of government, not one party or another. So could millennials be ripe for a third party?
I think the best way, this isn't, you know, every millennial, obviously, but they tend to skew more socially liberal and fiscally conservative.
Yeah.
Three-quarters of millennials support private accounts for Social Security, something mm-hmm. that you couldn't even find three-quarters of Republicans in
right.
other groups that support this.
Right.
So they do tend to be more fiscally conservative, but on issues such as gay marriage, back when that was, you know,
right.
a big issue that was in the hands
most
of the legislature.
Most millennials are in favor of that. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So we see them not fitting into typical party.
That's the reason I'm saying if somebody breaks out, which I think, but here's how this could be different with the millennials. You know, typically a third party play hurts the Republicans. I shouldn't say that. That hasn't always been the case. But I'm not sure which way the millennials will break if they go for a third party. Could be a very interesting election, this next one. Jared Meyer is our guest, folks. He's the co-author of Disinherited. He and I will be right back to explore more of these issues after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Feeling like I ought to sleep.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.